Way back, almost 100 years ago, a magazine called the New York World celebrated the birthday of Abraham Lincoln with a cartoon. Obviously, Abraham Lincoln remains one of the greatest heroes of American culture. This was true in 1925. It's still true today. We revere Abraham Lincoln, so this cartoon celebrating his birthday has become something of a classic. Two Kentucky farmers are pictured, and they're talking to each other across a picket fence, and one of the farmer says to the other, "Anything new happening lately?" The other responds, "Nothing much. A new baby was born over at Tom Lincoln's place. But nothing much ever happens around here." We can probably bet that the same scene unfolded in Bethlehem on Christmas night. Can you imagine it? I can. Two people standing on the corner around from the stable, and one says to the other, "Anything new happening around here?" "Nah. There was a baby born in the stable over there to two young people passing through, but nothing much ever happens around here." Right? This is how we think. This is how we function. Life is what it is. Things are the way they are. Nothing much happens. This is it. And nothing changes it. But you and I are called, we are invited to be part of another narrative, another storyline. Yes, very often we might lean against the post and, like the two farmers or others, we might say, "Nah, not much happening." We might even scroll through our feed on Facebook and think, "Same old, same old. Nah, nothing much happening, nothing new going on." But folks, there's another narrative at work. Another storyline. Even if this weekend the government is shutting down, even if yesterday women are marching all around the world, even if we continue with this partisan politics dominating the news, there is another storyline. There is another narrative. We heard about it in our first lesson. That's what Paul's talking about in those words that Kathy read. And Mark, the gospel writer, gets right to this point. I want you to listen as I'm reading from Mark 1, our text for this day, beginning at verse 14. "Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the gospel.' And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, I'll make you fishers of people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed. And as he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brothers John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. So Mark is the second gospel writer in the New Testament, but most scholars agree that Mark's gospel was the first gospel written. It's the oldest record of what happened with Jesus, the oldest record of what Jesus said and did. Matthew and Luke come along later, and they basically take Mark's template and fill in more parables and more stories. But Mark has this streamlined account, and it's considered the first gospel. And in our passage today, we get right to the heart of the message, this alternative narrative, this alternative storyline that is for disciples and all people everywhere, including us. When we know and when we live into this alternative narrative, which includes Jesus coming on the scene and announcing the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, never, never can we just say, "Nah, nothing much happening around here." Can't say it. It's not true. because God is present and God is always at work. And that's the narrative that intends to shape our lives. So I want to talk about this passage today, these simple verses, and I want to lift up five critical elements of this alternative narrative. These five are clear, they're direct, and they're meant to be transforming for you and me and for all of us today, tomorrow, forever. First, it says this: Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Did you catch that? You know, we often wonder if God cares about me or you. We often wonder if God is present with what we're dealing with. We often doubt that God knows our names and knows the crises of our lives. It's how we are. We doubt it. These feelings get especially intense when life gets frustrating, when life gets most difficult. Is this all there is? This? Will our children find a way? Will the current crisis get sorted out? Will the recent setback that happened be the beginning of the end, or just a little blip on the screen? Will the treatment plan, or will the new opportunity, or will the suggested solution actually bring about help and wholeness that we long for? Or are we just doomed to frustration and worry and suffering? Here's what Mark says: as boldly and as clearly as possible, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. So Galilee is a place, the northern part of the Sea of Galilee in a certain area of the Mediterranean. It's a place, but it's more than a place. Galilee is where real people are with real needs. Not rich people, not famous people, just people. Just people, real people with real pains, real suffering, real doubts, real worries. Jesus came to them, into their midst, proclaiming the good news of God. So Mark, the gospel writer, will not let us get away with saying, nah, nothing happening around here. Jesus came onto the scene, which means my scene, your scene. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, in the midst. The good news of God. That would be good news for all my bad news, good news for all your bad news, good news for all your sad news, good news for all the world's sad news. That's the message. God is present. God is at work. We should perk up. We should take notice, be engaged. There's another story going on. That's the promise. Another narrative that's intended to be at work in our lives and in the world. And then, secondly, there's another message. In the words of Jesus, and these are the first words that Jesus speaks in the whole gospel, the first thing that comes out of his mouth, he says this: the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. So we're really good at thinking ahead. We're really good at thinking we know what's coming down the pike, anticipating, waiting. Sometime down the road, things will change, things will get better. It'll all be worked out. That's how we think, maybe. It's rarely about now, right? We are often inclined to put things off. You know how this goes. You know how this goes. We'll put things off until later when our children grow up. Then we'll start working on our marriage again. You know how this goes. When we have a little more money, we'll be able to give a little more away. When our lives are less busy, then we can be better friends or better neighbors or maybe even better disciples. When things get a little less busy, when things are a little different, then we'll do this or then we'll do that. And Jesus says, now. It's about now. Fulfillment. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. No more waiting. No more postponing. No more when I get around to it. Not that. There's an urgency, there's an immediacy to what's happening, to his presence, to his words, to what he intends for us and for the world. And it's all about Jesus trying to get our attention. There's another narrative at work, another narrative which is God's narrative, which applies to you and to me, and which is meant to be lived out by us today, not later, now. And then third, Jesus speaks another word, repent. Repent. So I wonder what that word connotes for you. What kind of images come up in your mind and heart when you think repent? Maybe it's like a lot of other Christian phrases and words that have been captured and used in a certain way so that the word is kind of a negative word for us. We might think of some guy on the street with a big sign and a beard and loud voices who's threatening that the world is coming to an end and we need to change. In other words, we need to change according to what he thinks or she thinks. We need to change, get rid of our moral imperfections, name them, turn away from them, things will be right, leave it behind. Maybe that's what you think of repent. I'm not sure that's the main message of Jesus here. It's been captured and used in other ways. Jesus is talking about the direction of our lives. The direction of our lives. A better word, a modern understanding, might be change direction, alter the course of your life. And it looks like this. Don't just go through life. Go through life loving God and loving what God loves. Change your life. Don't just move through your days. Move through your days trying to make the world a better place. Don't just worry about the future. Know who holds the future. Don't just think of yourselves, which is our inclination. Think about others. Serve others. This is what God intends to change our direction. Don't just go to work. Work for justice. Work for kindness. Work for tenderness. Don't just come to church. Come and be a disciple. Be on this journey of growing closer to God and closer to what God intends for you and for the world. Don't just give a little bit. Give your life. Give your heart. Give all. Then you find life, says Jesus. See, this is what Jesus is saying. Change your life. Reorient your life. This is what keeps coming from Jesus. Reorient. Keep growing. Keep becoming. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. It means now. Change your life. Love God. Love God's people. Trust God. Be kind. Worship. Serve. This is the narrative of which we are a part. This is the narrative in which we find life. And then fourth, he says something else. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. One of my favorite lines in all the Bible comes from a panic-stricken man whose son is very ill. And the father goes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, please heal my sick son. And Jesus says, all things can be done for those who believe. And the man says, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. This is how we are. We're on this spectrum. We're seeking to believe, but you know what's always lurking around? Unbelief. Unbelief. This is how it is. So when Jesus says, believe in the gospel, be sure to hear this. Believing is not about saying the right words. Believing is not about some level of quantitative, measured belief along the way. Believing is not meant to be a grade, and if we don't get 70%, then we fail. It's not that. When Jesus says believe in the gospel, it has more to do with the inclinations of our hearts and the direction, the orientation of our lives, and that's way more than some amount of doctrine or some amount of creed that we might say or we might try to make sense in our heads and hearts. It's not so much about that, but who we trust and how our lives are oriented. If you say, or if I say to you, I believe in you. I believe in you as my friend, as my colleague, as a fellow traveler on the road, that means I'm open my heart to you. And I got confidence in you as a person and as a fellow struggler. And together we can make our way because you can be trusted along the way. Jesus is saying, believe in the gospel. He's really saying, I think, trust your life to God because you can. You can. It will lead to life and it leads to light. It will. Trust your life to God because life is full of heartache and life is full of setback. But we can trust God who will never let us go. Never. Even though the illness comes, even though we bury our loved ones, even though challenge and change surrounds us, the stresses and worries mount, we can trust God. Nothing can separate us from God's love. God's love is forever. God holds us and our futures. Jesus says, believe in the gospel. He's trying to say, don't forget God is present where you are. Nothing can separate us from God's love. God is on the scene where you are. God will carry us through. God is at work. It's not about some quantity of what we believe or what we can recite. It's about trusting God and striving to trust God more, especially as the challenges and changes come. Believe in the gospel, Jesus says. This intends to be transformative for us, giving us life and wholeness and hope and a way to go no matter what happens along the way. And then finally, Jesus says, fifth, one more thing. He says to Simon and Andrew, follow. Then he goes to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he says, follow me. They immediately, Mark says, put down their nets and followed. And he says to us, as Ginger's reminding us, follow, follow. This is where this alternative narrative really matters. This is where, when we get covered up with the complexities and the confusions of our world, it really makes a difference what we do. We're invited to follow. Follow Jesus. Take a step. Take another step. And then another step. So that we're trusting God and we're living into this alternative narrative. We're invited to move away from our selfish, closed-in kind of worlds to being engaged with God in the world. We're invited to leave behind more and more these small arenas in which we can feel so overwhelmed and venture forward in faith and trusting God, partnering with God and God's help and God's justice and God's love and spreading kindness in the world. Come on, follow, follow. Jesus keeps inviting us. In 2003, some archaeologists digging around Israel discovered at Masada a container that hadn't been discovered before, and in it was a seed, a date seed. A date seed in a container in these ruins. That would be a date seed that's around 2,000 years old. One of the researchers on the project planted the seed, not really expecting anything to happen. But having finally landed in good soil, a seed 2,000 years old began to take root. And it prospered and grew. Within a couple of years, it was a plant. It was 3 feet tall. That's one patient seed. If you think about it, you think about this one seed that God keeps working on, that Jesus keeps nurturing, that the church is sowing, trying to sow, is a 2,000-year-old story, a 2,000-year-old narrative. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, the time is now, and change your life. Get it in a right direction. And trust God with your life and follow. That's the message. Loving and serving God. Following Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the way John says it. The gospel writer. It's a new truth. It's a new storyline. It's a different narrative than the one we're usually urged to live in. And that seed intends to lead us to a new way of life, and to new life, to life. Life. The first disciples met and they heard Jesus and they dropped their nets, it says, and they followed him. And the story kept going, especially when Jesus rose from the grave, showing us that love is stronger than hate, and death is stronger, and life is stronger than death, and grace is stronger than greed, and hope is stronger than despair. Jesus keeps the story going, and Jesus keeps calling us disciples. Jesus keeps hoping that a 2,000-year-old seed will take root in our lives and in our community and actually in our city and in our world. And we follow. We are called to follow. And he keeps saying follow. And we partner with God in the inbreaking of God's work in the world for justice, for peace, for wholeness, for equality, for light, for all these good things that come from God. This is our calling. We're part of that. This whole movement that started with such humble beginnings has grown beyond anyone's wildest expectations, but that seed, that gospel, that Christ still seeks to take root in our hearts and take deeper and deeper roots so that we can become changed. We can become the kind of people God calls us to be, and we can line up our lives with this wonderful narrative, not the other narrative that all around surrounds us, but this wonderful narrative. This is the way to live. This is the way to find life. This is the way to get to the reign of God, the kingdom of God. Friends, may God's Spirit so nurture that seed in all of us, and may we follow. Amen. Let us pray. You come, O God, proclaiming the good news. You came and you come proclaiming the good news by your Spirit. Grow your seed in us. We seek to follow Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.